Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
We're going to talk today about the common cold, something that we don't see much of at this time of year, but it's an enormous burden for people, for employers, for the public. As listeners know, it's self-limited, at least the colds that we're talking about. The common cold's associated with a huge economic burden, both in terms of lost productivity and in terms of how much people spend, most of it over the counter, on cures and treatments and symptom management, etc. The average little person, let's start with, gets 5 to 7 colds per year. Those are, you know, children in school. As you get older, you get fewer. Those of us who have children end up getting more than those who don't have children. But by the time your children are grown, the average adult without children averages about 2 colds per annual season. The incidence of colds leads to somewhere around 20 million days lost. It accounts for about 40% of all time taken off by employees is due to the quote-unquote cold. And millions, probably hundreds of millions, and very likely in the billions of dollars have been spent on treatments and a huge amount of money on research looking at ways to prevent or shorten the course of the common cold. This day, you've picked for us an article from the BMJ. It asks or helps us answer the question, are cold symptoms affected by regular analgesic dosing or the use of steam? So two very different modalities. The question is, clearly they're not going to affect the length of time, but do they make us feel better? Mark, what do they find?
Yeah, this was a great study by a group that has really been responsible for doing most of the good studies on respiratory infections in the past 10 or 15 years, Paul Little, Michael Moore, and his group. You know, I do want to challenge you a bit. You said lots of spent on research. In the U.S., almost no federal funds or foundation funds go to research of acute respiratory infections. It's almost completely unstudied. Every bit of research that's, you know, done seems to come out of England, Netherlands, Belgium, you know, overseas. There's really very little, and it's very hard to get funded. It's just not taken seriously as a problem, but as you pointed out, it has a huge impact economically and in terms of burden of illness. Even though few people die of these conditions, it has a huge, you know, overall impact on the health of our society. So, you know, I say this as someone who's tried to get funding for this research and been unsuccessful, and it's not just me, and I think, you know, it's something we probably could spend a little more attention to. So anyway, this study, they had almost 900 patients, 3 years of age and older, so kids and adults, and they had 12 different groups. So they had combinations of, and this was an advice study, so they were giving patients advice. They weren't handing out pills. They weren't giving them steam devices or anything like that. They were just saying, here's what I think you ought to do. And so patients were either advised to take acetaminophen or ibuprofen or to alternate them. They were told to either use regular dosing or they were told to just use it as needed. And they were told to either add steam using a bathroom shower 5 minutes 3 times a day or no steam. So you had 3 different drug groups, 2 different dosing schedules, and 2 steam groups. So 3 times 2 times 2 is 12 different groups. Because it was an advice study and they weren't actually given the drugs, drug dosing was actually similar between the regular dosing and as-needed use. And in both cases, they took below the maximum dose of either medication. So they took less than 3 doses per day of acetaminophen, less than 2 doses of ibuprofen per day on average. Steam, although they were told to use it 3 times a day, like most patients, they only used it 2 times a day. So this is a very pragmatic trial. This is not the optimal, perfect delivery of these medicines. This is reflecting what would happen if you were doing it in your practice, you know, where we don't hand out steam devices, where we just tell patients what to do. So I think that's a real strength of this study, is that I think the results reflect what we might expect to see in real practice. So the respiratory symptoms were rated either 1, if it was no problem, or 7 if it was as bad as it could be. And they asked them 2 days after the visit and 4 days after the visit. Basically, the analgesic dosing or steam inhalation didn't have any impact on changes in outcomes. The study had sufficient power to find a difference, if one existed, though. There was, when they started looking at specific groups of symptoms, there was no difference between the ibuprofen and acetaminophen regarding ear pain or fever or severe symptoms. They did find that ibuprofen was more effective in patients with chest infections, chest cold, and ibuprofen improved symptom scores in children more than the other analgesics. On the other hand, those who were taking ibuprofen or were doing the alternating analgesic were a little more likely to return to the office if they weren't feeling better. So basically, the bottom line is they found that advice about steam inhalation doesn't seem to make any difference, that ibuprofen alone may be better in kids, and ibuprofen alone may be better in people with chest infections at reducing their symptoms. But, you know, overall, as with much about care of acute respiratory infections, there's still a lot we don't know.
Interesting. So I stand corrected in terms of the amount of research. It is hugely important. Again, you know, it's a philosophical discussion, I guess, about what research should be doing and how it should impact people. But I think that perhaps we would all agree that both the quality of life and the economic impact are important variables. And as I'd mentioned, there's probably nothing that has more of an economic impact than the cold. And anyway, so it looks like steam is out and analgesics are plus or minus, but there's no home run here, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think in patients with a chest cold, what we call here in the U.S. Acute bronchitis, what they call in Britain a chest cold, which I think is a better name, you know, ibuprofen, the anti-inflammatory effect may be somewhat helpful. You know, other studies have shown, I think they looked at naproxen in a different study and didn't find a benefit. So, you know, maybe some ibuprofen for kids and for the adults with these symptoms. I think, you know, there's obviously the other message that wasn't addressed by this study, but that is, you know, overuse of antibiotics. We still currently in my community, 60 to 70% of people with a chest cold get an antibiotic. Half of them get a broad spectrum antibiotic. So we can still do a better job of that. And I think it is important that we try to figure out what sort of symptomatic measures are effective. And we still haven't figured that out, but hopefully someday we'll have some better advice to give our patients.
Excellent, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks so much.
See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.